Daniel 9, verse 20. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandments came forth, and I am come to show thee. For thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandments to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city, and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with the flood, and unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. The Lord will bless the reading of his word.
Now you'll observe that in verse 20 and verse 21, Daniel refers to the fact that whilst I was speaking in prayer, I just want to suggest that in this tremendous prayer of chapter 9, Daniel was praying aloud, which whilst he was speaking in prayer and confessing his sins and the sins of the people of Israel and making his supplications. And again in verse 21, whilst I was speaking. And so Gabriel was sent forth by God in response to the prayer and supplications of Daniel. And he is so described by the angel, if before he goes into the vision he's going to speak of, as a man greatly beloved. You know, it's only Daniel that's described as a man greatly beloved. Here in this verse, and again in chapter 10, verse 11, and again in chapter 10, verse 19. Three times we find that Daniel is called greatly beloved, and he's the only one in the scripture who is called greatly beloved. And so we find that whilst he was speaking in prayer, now says Gabriel unto Daniel, whilst I was making thy supplication, the commandment went forth. And so we find that there was an answer to Daniel's prayer on the part of God, whilst he was still making his supplications. And so we find that God sent forth the angel Gabriel unto Daniel, because he wants to inform and instruct Daniel in things that are yet to be, especially with regard to end times. See, Daniel has been very concerned about 70 years when Jerusalem was desolated. But what Gabriel is going to bring before him is not just 70 years, but 70 times 7 years. And so we find that God has sent forth Gabriel unto Daniel that he might make him know and understand this great period of time, a period of 490 years. But let's come verse number 24, because verses 24, 25, 26, and 27 contain the vision. And what the angel is saying unto Daniel, he's saying that I've come to make you understand, for you to consider, or for you to understand the matter, and to consider the vision. And so Daniel's encouraged now to consider what is going to be revealed to him. So verse number 24 opens like this. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Now, immediately we see that these 70 weeks are nothing to do with the church, or to do with Israel, thy people, Israel, thy holy city, Jerusalem. So what we have in these few verses that closes up the chapter for us is a vision that has to do with Israel and with Jerusalem. And so we find that verse 24 opens, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Now this expression, 70 weeks, if we read in the Hebrew Bible, we read something like this, 77s. But then we have to ask ourselves, is it 77 days or weeks or months or years? But it is agreed by all the scholarship that this expression 70 weeks refers to 70 sevens, which is 490 years. So what the angel is saying unto Daniel, there are 490 years determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. So these 490 years are very important in relation to the nation of Israel and, of course, in relation to Jerusalem. And so we find that the angel has said unto Daniel, he's come actually that he might understand the matter and that he might actually consider and think about this whole vision in relation to these 490 years. What's the next bit of verse? So we find that these 490 years are going to be split up into three pieces. And as we go through these few verses, we'll find it's going to be 49 years, followed by 434 years, followed by a last week of 7 years. And so these 490 years determined upon Israel and upon Jerusalem is actually split into three periods of time. And so we find at the end of verse 24, those verses.
And they make an end of sins.
We've got six great statements at the end of verse 24 in relation to Israel and in relation at the end of these 490 years. You'll notice that these six statements, three of them are in the negative and three are in the positive. For when these 490 years have been accomplished, this is what God is saying unto Daniel. As far as Israel is concerned, her transgressions, well, they will be...
make an end of sins.
They will be...
finished.
Because, you see, in his prayer, he's talked about transgression, he's talked about sin, and he's talked about iniquity. But now, says the angel unto Daniel, at the end of these 490 years, you see, her transgression will be finished. Her sins will be made an end of, and then her iniquity will be atoned for. Not reconciled, but rather atoned. And so we find the three negative blessings at the end of these 490 years in relation to Israel due to her transgressions, her sins, and her iniquities. And then we read there are three positive blessings. And these positive blessings are this, that at the end of these 490 years, righteousness, everlasting righteousness, is going to be brought in. And then as far as the prophecy, the vision is concerned, that'll be sealed up. And as far as the holy one is concerned, that will be anointed. So there's going to be anointing of the holy one. And there's going to be a shutting up and a sealing up of prophecy and vision that'll be required no longer. And, of course, there will be everlasting righteousness brought in. Of course, at the end of those 490 years, what has been referred to is the advent of the Lord Jesus Christ as Israel's Messiah, coming a second time, this time to establish his kingdom. And when he comes to establish his kingdom, these six blessings will be realized in the nation, in that remnant of Israel that will be there, in the land, when the Lord returns as their Messiah. And so we find a very interesting verse that we're introduced to 490 years and what it will mean to Israel at the end of those 490 years by way of blessings negative and blessings positive. That's verse number 24. Verse 25.
Now therefore, I understand that.
Now says the angel. Daniel says, I come forth that you might understand and you might know.
Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem.
Now you see what the angel's saying to Daniel. He's going to tell Daniel when these 490 years will have their beginning. He's going to tell him also when you get to 483 years, that is 434 years plus 49 years, comes to 483 years. At the end of 483 years, then we find Messiah, the prince, shall be cut off, and that for himself, or as a revised version, and have nothing. So what Daniel is told is this. He's told when these 480 years will commence, and when the 483 years, what will then take place? Messiah, the prince, will be cut off. Let me just point out for a moment. The starting point of these years is found in Nehemiah chapter 2. Although, of course, decrees are going forth in Ezra chapter 1 by Cyrus and 6 by Darius, but they do not have the content of what is being spoken of in this verse. It is in Nehemiah chapter 2 that Nehemiah was sent forth to build the city and to build the walls of Jerusalem and to set up the street or the marketplace or, if you will, the Broadway. And so we find that Nehemiah chapter 2 is a commencing point of these 490 years. Of that 490 years, we find that 49 years covers the work of Nehemiah in building the city and the wall. And we're told in relation to Nehemiah's work, it will be in troublous times. That is Sanballat and Tobiah and others constantly opposing the work of Nehemiah. So much so that there was a point in time with regard to the building, they had a trowel in one hand and a sword in another. And there says, angel Gabriel to Daniel, this will be the starting point when this decree is sent forth for the building again of the street, that is the Broadway and the wall, but it will be in troublous times. So the first 49 years actually covers for us the ministry of Nehemiah in relation to the rebuilding of the walls and the setting up of the city all over again. But then, of course, after those 49 years, now we're told there's going to be another 434 years. Well, if you bring those two together, it brings us to 483 years. What's going to happen after 483 years? Well, says the angel to the prophet. He says, Messiah, the prince, shall be cut off. So we find that 483 years covers the time of Nehemiah right through to the cutting off of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was Messiah, the prince. And so we find, do we not? This is a very interesting vision given unto Daniel that covers all that period of time and concludes with the cutting off of the Messiah. Of course, you will know, will you not? He not only came in incarnation, but the Lord Jesus Christ presented himself unto Israel according to Matthew 21 and verse number 5, I believe, round about that, quoting Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9, behold, your king cometh unto you, meek, and ride upon an ass, the foal of an ass. And so we find that the 483, through the third year, the Lord Jesus Christ presents himself in Jerusalem and presents himself as their king, Messiah king, who's come to establish his kingdom. But instead of accepting him, instead of receiving him as king, what did the Jews do? And with the aid of the Romans, he was cut off. In other words, the one who presented himself on Palm Sunday, as we would know it, as Israel's king, come to establish a kingdom. Had they received him? Of course, he would have established his kingdom, that millennial kingdom of which we read so much in Scripture. He would have established it there and then, but they did not receive him. When Pilate put to them, "What shall I do then with this man which is called the Christ, Jesus the Christ?" they said, "Crucify, crucify him." And so the Jews rejected their king, who had come to them in fulfillment of Zechariah 9, verse 9. They rejected him, and he was led out to the place called Golgotha, and there they crucified him. And so we find that Pilate put up over his cross, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." But the King has been cut off. The King has been crucified. And he was crucified having nothing. No temple, no city, no kingdom, as the Revised Version would suggest. Now, at that point in the verse, there's going to be a long, long gap. A gap that would extend 2,000 years at least, because the gap is still there. And so we find that between what we've read in the Lord being cut off, from that point in time, the prophetic clock that God has before him was stopped. And that prophetic clock is still stopped. It's not been restarted by God. And now for 2,000 years or more, that clock is stopped. But that clock will start again. And when will it start again?
After three, and as I come to destroy the city, and I don't know where you are, and the sanctuary and the end thereof shall be a flood. And
now then, what's going to happen is this, that the prophetic clock will start again after the church period and program, and it will be marked by a flood, which simply means an invading army and wars. And we find that during this 2,000 year period, Jerusalem has been trodden down of the Gentiles, and still is. And ultimately, she'll be overwhelmed with an invading army and invading armies. And so we find that the temple and the city will come under the destroying power of these armies. We might well wonder, what does that mean? Well, I think Zechariah chapter 14 may just be suggesting to us what is before us in this particular vision. It is this, that actually the armies of the world are going to be gathered against Jerusalem to destroy it and to destroy the Jews. And so Zechariah chapter 14 sets the scene for us that this flood that's coming in is the invading armies of the world, invading Jerusalem with this point of view to destroy it and to destroy the people. And so we find that what we have now, we're living in the gap period. The prophetic clock is stopped. God is no longer dealing with Israel as a nation publicly. She's been set to one side. But there will be a time when the church is gone, that program completed, when God will take up his people once more. And when he takes up his people once more, there will be those awful times of desolation, times of war. And so we find that Israel will be in dreadful trouble during those years that follow the 483 third year. Because there's one more year, or one more week referred to, for there remains 1 week, that's 1 week of 7 years. And we find that after the church is gone, then the prophetic clock will start, And the last 7 years of in Israel's history, according to the program of God, will begin to tick. And that last 7 years, we're told, it will be marked by a covenant that is made with the prince that shall come. Well, notice now, it's not referring to the Lord. The Lord, Messiah, the prince, has been cut off. But having been cut off, there's going to be another prince arise. I take it, no, the satanic prince. And when he rises up, the people of that satanic prince will come. And so we find we have now 1 week of 7 years that are still left in abeyance, still to be fulfilled. And we find that that 7 years will be marked by the satanic prince. Well, we may call him Antichrist, or the man of sin, or the beast, or these are titles of the same person. But we do know that the beast, the man of sin, the Antichrist, will make a covenant with the many of the Jews. Not all, the many, the majority. Because God will still have a remnant even in that, that day that's yet to come. In those awful days of apostasy on the part of the nation, they will accept Satanic Prince as their Messiah. And the majority will receive and accept the covenant that this prince will make with the many in Israel, but there will be a remnant, and there will be those who are faithful to God, who have nothing to do with this covenant, which is referred to by the angel unto Daniel. And we find that this covenant will be made by the satanic prince, and it will be for 7 years. But then we learn, of course, that will give Israel their temple and their Jewish worship. And so during the first 3.5 years of this last week of 7 years, Israel, the Jews, will be able to practice their worship according to Jewish law. But in the middle of the week, then the satanic prince will break the covenant. He will stop the Israelite worship. And as we learn from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, as the man of sin, he would set himself up in the temple of God and declare himself to be God. And for those last 3.5 years, there's going to be great tribulation, terrible trouble, and that for the Jews. For then we learn, do we not, from the book of the Revelation, what those 7 years will consist of. Let me suggest. The beginning of those seven-year period is stated for us in Revelation chapter 6, when a man on a white horse appears upon the political stage. That's the beginning of the 7 years. And then when we come to chapter 12 and 13, we have the middle of those 7 years, when Satan will bring up the beast and the covenant will be broken. And we find that, after all, the beast will take the place and he will be worshipped and wondered after, because he will receive his power and his authority and his throne from Satan himself. In other words, he will be Satan will embody this man, or the man will be the embodiment of Satan at the middle of the week, and he will control the last 3.5 years. How will that 7 year period end? Well, we go then to Revelation chapter 19, when the rider on the white horse comes out from heaven and takes the beast and the false prophet and casts them alive into the lake of fire. So this vision, which Daniel is commanded to consider and to think over and to bear in mind, will actually consist of 490 years. 483 years have already run their course. They ended with the crucifixion of Israel's Messiah King. But after his crucifixion, this was his time come in, when Israel ever since has been the subject of hostility from her neighboring cities, neighboring towns, neighboring countries, always have been the object of their attack. And so we find that what we have in these four verses that concludes chapter 9 is God talking to Daniel about the end times. Whereas he was concerned about 70 years, God was talking to him about 490 years. And that 490 years, 49 of which covers the ministry of Nehemiah in his building project. 434 years follows on from that, brings us right through to the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. And we're now in the gap period. And after this gap period has run its course, then there will be wars. And Jerusalem will be overwhelmed with their enemies. And so we find that under the banner of the beast, the Antichrist, the man of sin, she will seek refuge. But it will be, as Ezekiel 28 tells us, or Isaiah 28, it will be a refuge of lies and sleep with hell, not heaven. And so we find that as we come to the end of this chapter, Daniel now is in possession of what will happen to Israel and the holy city Jerusalem at the end times, when this present period, the gap period in which the church program is being worked out, when that has been completed and God starts the prophetic clock all over again. And after a time of trouble, of wars and destruction, we find that the last seven years will have their beginning. And we need to read Revelation 6 through to Revelation 19 to get the flavour of those 7 years as depicted in detail in that section of the book of the Revelation. So you'll see, to understand what God is saying through Gabriel to Daniel about these 490 years, and particularly the last 7 years, we do need to have an understanding of the book of the Revelation, for it's a major part, chapter 6, right through to chapter 19, to the chapter 20, the king is back. His kingdom is established upon the earth, and then there will be the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus here in this world. And so it's all to do with Israel, and it's all to do with Jerusalem in the future. Thank you.